Welcome everybody to another edition of Horror Movie News. Today we are going to be doing a deep dive into the upcoming horror film Followed. We have the producer, director, writer, and lead actor in studio right now. We are going to try and answer everyone's question, the question that's on everyone's mind. Hashtag what happened to drop the mic? It's right here. Ooh. So let's get to it. It's Horror Movie News.
Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Don't you blame the movies?
Why not?
The movies don't create psychos.
They don't?
Movies
no.
Movies make psychos more creative.
Oh. All right. Here we go. That's the stuff that I want right there. Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to Horror Movie News. We are on episode 40.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. We're so old now.
We're so old. For this edition, we have the cast and crew of Followed. So let's get into introductions. My name is Anthony Becerra. To my left, I have lead actor.
Hi, I'm Matthew Solomon. I play Mike in the movie Followed.
Right on. And of course, we have Carrie.
What's up? My name's Carrie Lane, and I was the assistant director on this film.
Oh, snap.
Hi, guys. I'm Ollie Drennan, and I didn't participated in the film, but it was amazing. I'm super excited.
You saw it. We saw it.
Yeah.
Super
and
excited.
On the couch, we have Antoine Lay.
Hi, I'm Antoine Lay. I'm director producer of Followed.
Right on. Next to him, we have Matthew Brubaker.
My name is Matthew Brubaker. I am the editor and producer on Followed.
Multiple hats. And last but not least, Todd Click.
And I'm the writer and one of the producers.
Right on. Woo! Okay, so before we get into the thick of things, let's do our regular crypt keeping, you know. So, where to find us? You can find us at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork on the YouTube channel, as well as tweet at us at horrornewsptn. Any feedback? I know Meteor Shock's always retweeting our stuff. Thank you, Meteor Shock. Appreciate it. As well as our popcorntalknetwork.com official website. And last but not least, go on Apple iTunes or wherever you find your podcast and type in Horror Movie News. Look for our thumbnail. That's right behind us. Right there.
Yeah.
Look for that thumbnail and leave us a 5-star rating. Please do. If not, you'll be haunted by me and this voice. Ooh, yeah.
So sexy. I would love to be haunted by this voice.
Don't believe. All right, so I want to start off just real quick with a overview of the film. So the film is called Followed. It's directed, again by Antoine Lay. This is your directorial debut, correct?
Yes.
Right on. And also writer Todd Click, as well as producer Matthew Brubaker, and of course, you guys are multiple like producers as well. And just some of the stars, we have, of course, Matthew Solomon, who plays Mike, or hashtag drop the mic. We also have Tim Dreer as Chris, playing the DP. Sam Valentine as Danny, who's, I believe, third camera or backup camera. Caitlin Utting as Nick. She's the crazy director. And we also have Kelsey Griswold playing Jess, which I believe is your...
She's my fiancée.
Fiance, yes.
Not in real life. If only.
And the tagline to the film goes, "To gain more subscribers, a controversial vlogger stays at a cursed hotel... to terrifying results." Ooh, boogity boogity.
Truly terrifying.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get into it. We'll get into it. I want to talk. I'm so excited. But first. Real quick, it will be premiering at the Burbank International Film Festival on September 7th, 2018. So all you local peeps out there, come down to Burbank and watch this film. You can get your tickets online at rufollowed.com/tickets. That's the official website for the film, correct?
That's correct.
Yes. Right on. And get them now because these tickets are selling like hotcakes. So without further ado, I would like to play the trailer to the film to get everyone acquainted with the film that we're talking about. Right. So, Steve, let's roll it.
Do you want them to talk over it at all?
Yeah, we can talk a little bit over it based on real events.
That's me.
And I believe the Hotel Lenox is based off of the Cecil Hotel, right? Here in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where Elisa Lam actually lost her life or to some, like, weird... Yeah.
It's a big old mystery. Nobody really knows what happened.
Yeah. Right. He's great, isn't he? Oh, yeah, that was funny. Fred the
Head. That was my favorite character.
Excuse you.
Oliver, he's right here.
Oh, God, that makeup.
Oh, it's so cool, too, how you guys presented it, like, through vlogs. Oh, that was awesome.
Thank you. Incredible phone call. Thank you. They just told me that if I can get
50,000 subscribers by the end of Halloween, don't do it. Don't do it.
That's my parents' truck.
Tell them to stay home, Merv. Tell them to stay home, Jess. Security cams here. Spy cam. Oh, he was such a sweetheart in the film.
Right.
Yeah. I love that line, too. Dante's Inferno. I want to bring a call back to that, too. Guys? Guys? Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. Oh, God.
You enter the elevator on the first floor alone.
Yes, the notorious elevator ritual.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I read about this. I went in a deep dive.
So, who played the elevator?
I'm not playing that.
I will never.
Never. God,
I thought that I was actually going to have to do it for this movie, but we didn't. Movie magic is what happened.
Yeah.
Nothing like a Tim Dreyer blood-curdling scream. This is bringing back so many memories.
Hello, cop drops.
Oh, man, that... Oh, I love that scene, too. What are you willing to do to get more subscribers?
What are you willing to do to get more subscribers?
You know, we're like, follow us!
Yeah. Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Beautiful logo.
Yeah.
Right on. So,
what happened to drop the mic?
Right? Yeah. So, well, we're not going to find out unless you watch the movie. I know what happened.
Well, do you?
I think so. If I'm correct, yes. I believe it was like 2 in the morning. Believe it or not, I believe I finished the film like around 3 and I'm just like, oh boy, the witching hour. I got to sleep now. But yeah, so I just want to kick off with just a nice little question. Pretty much, if you, either or, if you don't have a favorite horror film, just like, I would like to say, if you do have a favorite horror film, tell us that. And if you don't, then it'd be like, what about the horror genre is special to you? Mm. So starting off with the Mr. Director.
My favorite, I would say, is The Ring.
Ooh.
The Ring, the Gore Verbinski version. I mean, mm-hmm. it scared the crap out of me when I first saw it in theaters, and it was terrifying. It's literally still haunts me up to this day. So every time I actually make movies, especially horror, which technically speaking wasn't my genre at first, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, it inspired me so much. It's just the skills, the masterful direction of Gore Verbinski. And it's just, you know, the movie has heart, and that's mm-hmm. that's one of the things that I actually like about horror movies. I mean, certain horror movies is that, mm-hmm. yeah, it's not just the kills, it's not just the scares, but it's the heart, you know, underneath mm-hmm. it all. Do I care about the characters, right? And in The Ring, I did, you know, and I love that movie. But that is my favorite scary movie of all time.
Right on, The Ring. All right, you're up next.
Yeah, I would actually. He actually took mine.
Oh,
so you guys we actually kind of share that. The Ring just really kind of hit it for me, you know, out of the ballpark. I felt like Gore Verbinski was an amazing director on it, and I've seen the original Ringu. I'm a huge fan of like Japanese mm-hmm. culture and all that, but I really thought that, you know, he brought like truly kind of modern scary horror to America. Mm-hmm. From Japan. That's what, I felt like he translated that really well. But since he took it, I'll just say I'll harken back to another hotel movie, which is The Shining.
Ooh, okay.
I love The Shining. Obviously, Stanley Kubrick's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
He's
right on.
A masterful director.
Mine is 1981 film based on a Peter Straub novel. It's called Ghost Story. Anybody seen it?
Ghost Story.
Yeah, a lot of people have not seen it. It slipped through the cracks, and it's so amazing. It's a period piece, and it stars these four young guys, and they're in college, and they take this young girl. She's beautiful, and they all have a thing for her. Mm-hmm. And through circumstance, she ends up getting killed while in their kind of presence. And so they decide they don't want to ruin their careers, so I'm just telling you like trailer bits.
Yeah.
They decide to put her in her car, push her in the lake, and they watch her. They have the flashlights on her and stuff as the car's going down. Mm. You know, they're distraught. But right before it submerges, her face pops up, and she turns out she's alive.
Oh.
Her ghost comes back 50 years later and wreaks havoc.
Nice.
On their lives. Yeah.
Oh, I want to see that movie.
Dang. Yeah.
You pitched that so real well.
Dang. All right. Do you have
one? Yeah. I actually shy away from horror movies pretty frequently. I am not great at watching horror movies. I lose my shit. But strangely enough, one of my top five favorite movies of all time is Rosemary's Baby,
ooh,
which I saw back in high school for the first time, and I've probably seen it like 3 or 4 times. And just the psychological element of it is, especially as an actor and watching those amazing actors perform, it just gives me everything that I need. You know? Yeah. It's a really good movie.
And how she like loses weight slowly.
Oh, oh yeah. God. Yeah. So well done.
So stressful.
Yeah, it's a really stressful movie to watch. See, I don't mind stress. I mind being terrified.
Oh, yeah. Man. Right on. Cool. All right.
Wellington in the chat says it looks creepy seeing the trailer. So we have live people right. watching. Oh, thank cool. you. Good comment on that.
Yeah. So now I'd like to see our overall like take on this. So I'll start off with Ollie. How'd you like the film?
I definitely think it was something that hasn't been tackled before. So to have like the elevator game and kind of like, I feel like I'm also very a huge fan of like the found footage style as well. And I feel like there were so many different components and all the camera work. I'm like, how do you keep track of all of this? Like it was fascinating. And it's like when I was watching the film too, I was like, I wonder like how long it took to like film all this. So like it was just so technical and I really enjoyed it. And yeah, it was amazing. It really felt like you guys, like, I felt like the cast and crew had, like, a really good, fun time, like, with this production in particular. Yeah. But it was awesome, and I'm really excited for other people to see this when it premieres.
And Carrie, how does it feel like watching it?
I was saying, I'm like, I want to know your guys' opinion, because when I watch it, I'm just like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that was that thing, and, you know, you just remember all the details behind the scenes. But I agree, my sentiments when I first learned about it and the concept of doing it was, I was so, like, excited that it was found footage, but in a very different avenue.
Yeah.
Because we've already seen, like, oh, I just filmed something. It's like, okay, let's actually have a successful, skilled camera person do it, which actually made filming much easier, which we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say that this movie literally would not have been made if Carrie wasn't on set.
Carrie!
You know the phrase herding sheep? It was more like she was herding cats.
Yeah, I was texting him. I'm like, yeah, getting people organized. It's like herding cats.
She literally texted me. I was like,
it's true. There's so much to cover and tackle because there's all the different camera angles, because during the film, technically, 3 different people could be filming at any given time, plus other items that they have of, like, spy technology of filming. Mm-hmm. So keeping track of all that was fun.
And the film is, like, pretty much on, like, a laptop. Like, it's all being, like,
which
is really cool.
That always,
which is, like, kind of a new found footage style, because we're seeing that in like Searching, which is going to come out soon.
Right.
I'm so excited to see that finally. And also like the Unfriended films. So it was really cool how everything, it was just such a cool, cohesive film.
It kind of
It was 14 days?
Wow.
Wait,
the
what?
Shoot was in 14.
The shoot was, I want to say, 12.
Like, yeah, it was 12 days.
It was 14 if you include the 2 days we took off.
Yeah, we had 2 days off. It was 12 days of shooting. Days. And, like, I think the longest day was 13 hours, which for a shoot like this, that's not very long.
No,
So, like, the fact that we busted this out in that amount of time is remarkable.
It sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Wow, yeah, you guys really had a just...
As a producer, I have, like, my MVPs of, like, people on my crew, and Carrie's definitely one of them.
Well, like the way how we were talking about the filming, since it's the different vloggers and their cameras, that's probably like the only way we really could have done this is because we didn't have to do like wide, medium, close up.
Right.
It's more like as long as you got it at least one version, it'd be like, okay, that was enough. And then we would try to get more, of course, but it wasn't the same like a regular film where you would be like, all right, we're going to have the wide establishing shot. Right. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to have that medium. Then we're going to have a close up. Because when you're vlogging, that's not how people film it.
Yeah. And as an actor, that's both like a huge gift and hugely intimidating, because as an actor, if you are shooting multiple angles, you're shooting multiple like wide frame close up, you can kind of fake your way if you don't know all of your lines,
because they'll cut it
and you cut it together, and then it looks like it's a cohesive conversation when in reality it's like 30 different conversations. But with this movie, we had to be prepared to like shoot up to 2 pages in one take.
Yeah.
Wow. So it was Which, like, is also sort of a more classical theater style, which is more fun. So, you know, it was a very unique shoot in that way and very fun to work on. Yeah.
Right, we hung out in hotels for, like, 2 weeks, essentially.
Yeah. Half of that was good. Because we filmed in two hotels, one that was very nice and one that was...
Had cockroaches.
Little sketch and windows you could fall out of and die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Really, really bring out the essence of the acting.
Oh yeah, it's very real.
Yeah,
that basement.
Very method.
that basement. Yeah,
do that. That scene. I would like to share my experience with this film.
Please.
So I believe I saw it Sunday night, and I saw it like right after I got off work around 12 a.m. or so. And my God, I really enjoyed this film. I gotta say kudos to all of you. You guys made a fantastic film. Something weird happened to me after watching the film that hasn't happened to me since I was a kid, which was I had trouble sleeping at night. and it was very stressful for me. I was like, because I even put on SpongeBob. I was like, I need to watch something. I need to watch something happy to like fall asleep to. Because I had the hardest time falling asleep because it's just the stress levels towards the end of the film just got to me on such an intense like level when I was watching it, and I was like in my blanket just covered, and I'm just like losing my freaking mind. I'm just like, I can't. I was so wow. stressed out, and there wasn't ever really like that release until like it kind of like subsided towards the end, but it just it carried over after the film was over, and I didn't think that until I woke up throughout my night periodically and just be like, what's going on? And like, so I gotta say, I did not expect any of that from this film, and you guys wowed me. You guys shocked my
Thank
pants
you.
Off.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
And I gotta say, it's such a remarkable film because it's kind of like I wanted to harken back to the Dante's Inferno line, because it kind of is, especially for Drop the Mic's character, in a sense it's a descent into hell, like for all of them really, but specifically for him, because it's revealed why his motives are revealed, why he's doing this, and that's where the real, like, kind of like the grounded heart of the film comes in, where like he's doing this for his fiance and how he wants to provide for her. But in order to do that, he has to really descend into his own madness. And that just happens to be like the hotel itself, which is us like doing the elevated game and then going into that, and it was just so great. Did you guys have any of that in mind? Was that some sort of inspiration of Dante's Inferno? Because there's a reason why that line's there, right?
I mean, yes. Todd is a brilliant writer on that. So,
oh, for you?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So Todd actually wrote that line and everything else too. But you know, the genesis of the film was that. The whole Hotel Lenox and Elise Lam and all that—it really intrigued me. I remember just reading the news or watching the news, like, man, how can this be real? You know, start researching on that as well. It just really fascinated me. And then met Todd. Todd was also fascinated with the same subject as well. So we got together. You know, he wrote the story, the screenplay, and everything else. And we actually involved Matt Solomon as well, because part of our casting process is that Todd wanted to meet with the actor first. He wanted to see who Dropped the Mic really is, so that he can actually build it, and he did an amazing job doing it, right? But so as we're talking about, one thing that I wanted to set forth is that I wanted to make sure that this is not a traditional found footage, which is, you know, the Blair Witch and all that, they've already been done too many times, and have been done very well, right? I wanted more something of a cinematic found footage, so to speak. So it's kind of like what Gary said. In a normal traditional movie, you have the close-up, the medium shot, the wide shot. So that's part of the reasons why we had more than one cameras, you know, and that's also one of the reasons why we actually made these characters our film people, so that, you know, when the film is uploaded and when you watch, it's like, hey, it looks pretty cinematic.
Yeah.
It's because I wanted it like that rather than just a traditional film footage. And the heart of it all is that, you know, to me, is that scary movies would work best if you care about the characters, you know, like if you just, you know, it's just a throwaway character, you know, and when he or she a turn to die, you just wouldn't care. You would rather enjoy the kills rather than anything.
Right.
But with me, is that I want people to just, you know, really be, like you said, stressful for him, right? Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reasons why we build the whole, you know, descend into hell that way, which is like he did everything he can. He goes, you know, he's just a vlogger and irreverent and all of that as well, but he descended into hell, not by choice, but, you know, by finding out, you know, and later on you would find another reason why he's actually doing it as well.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a reason why he did that, but one thing that I wanted for the movie to do is that in the beginning it would look like vlogs, very mm-hmm. fast paced, moving, it's fun and games and all that.
Yeah, the introduction and everything.
Absolutely.
Right.
And mm-hmm. also building the characters. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to know that, hey, these are a good group of friends, just, you know, romance interest and so on and so forth, but these are the people that you don't want to see hurt, right? Mm-hmm. So then once you set that up, then the entire movie is about the descent. And I specifically made the ending a one take, you know, long take, mm-hmm. you know, stress inducing. It's kind of like getting the audience to basically be in drop the mic shoes. And that's mm-hmm. part of the reasons why we want an uninterrupted take at the end for that, right? So I'm yeah. glad you actually liked it.
No, I was going to say, shout out to Nelson, our DP, yeah. for that, making oh, yeah. that essentially, yeah. it's essentially one take.
Did he have control over all the cameras that were going on at all times?
He was all the cameras.
Yeah, he's all the cameras.
So, which means he's all the characters.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
They say that, like, the camera's another character, like, in this situation, truly,
oh, yeah.
like, mm-hmm. he would be holding the camera right here next to my face while I was supposedly, like, using the mechanism, and it was very, we got real close. He was really great to work with.
Yeah, he's a godsend.
Yeah, he's so talented. He's amazing.
And so this will be more of a question, I guess. Well, I'm sure all you can speak with, but I guess my take from, like, overall, like, kind of, in my opinion, what the film is trying to say, I kind of wrote something down. I think it's a great, like, social commentary on, like, desensitization. I can't even say it.
It's a hard desensitization.
Word. Thank you, sir.
That's why he's a producer.
You got my back. Yeah, of our youth due to the exponential rise of an advancement of our social media. And I think that was one of the points where it's like, this is something that's happening right now, that hasn't really happened ever in our history, where because due to social media, and that's supposed to really connect us, it's really more pushing us away from having those genuine human connections. Yeah. And mm-hmm. really, like, to get more followers, they go deeper and deeper into a certain, like, rabbit hole to gain those followers. And I would just like to say, like, where'd you get the inspiration for such a thing like that?
Oh, well, I was... every now and then I work on this TV show idea I have, kind of a horror TV show, and I've written 30 stories so far. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the stories I was going to put in that, but it seemed too big of a story for this short story format. And then when Antoine and I got together and Matt introduced this and we talked about this whole thing, I said, well, why don't we try this? I have this vlogger idea that he steps over the line trying to get subscribers, and then he just goes into this, you know, very bad, dark place. And, you know, we could tell it all as vlogs because, you know, we haven't seen that before. And so it came basically from that. And then so I just kind of sent him over some bios of the characters and the outline. And then we had the auditions, and people like Matt came, and I mean Matt just he just shone above everybody else that we had there. And then it was great because he's a great improv actor, and so he threw out these lines that I was able to listen to the video later on. I could throw in some of those lines in his character, and he helped me really crystallize the character in my mind for writing the script then. And then we all, Matt and Antoine and I, then we would flesh it out as a, you know, I wrote a first draft, and then they were like, oh man, and Antoine would have these great ideas about what he would like to do directing wise. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, that's cool. And then I would add those in, and we just all kind of fleshed it all out together. And really, it was a big team process, especially when we work with the actors on the shoot and the crew. We used anybody on the crew if they had a great idea, you know, we used that.
What about the social media aspect? You know, they like, why did you make the social media aspect of
it.
Oh, the social media aspect. Well, it's something that I've seen just so throughout the years that people will just step over the line mm-hmm. to get more subscribers, and it's very disturbing to mm-hmm. me. And they'll lunge at old people. They'll mm-hmm. do just really just terrible things. Like in real life, we would be like, "Man, you're a dick for doing that." You know, you're an asshole. But it's entertaining, and it's hard to. I've caught myself watching these assholes. Like, oh wow, you can't look away.
Yeah,
it makes me feel uncomfortable. But I love writing in that uncomfortable space, and I liked how we had to in this film go to uncomfortable areas to kind of prove that theme that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually after we filmed, but the whole Logan Paul incident.
Oh, wow.
You know,
yeah.
With him going to Japan and going to the
huge
suicide forest, mm-hmm. and just being very kind of irreverent, just like our character in a way. Watching the news on that was very much. I was like, wow, this is our movie. like we could base the movie off of this, but we made the movie like a year ago. So
wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, yeah, I just wanted to shine a light on the actor here. Drop the mic.
Hello.
My God, not gonna lie, you played it so well. I was just like, this guy's a douche. I was like, I don't like this character. He was so good at playing like that cliche. What's up, everybody? Welcome. I'm drop the mic. I was just like, this guy's so perfect. And also too, like the little like techniques of like including like little like pop ups too when he was mm-hmm. doing like the initial intro of, like. Mm-hmm. Establishing who he is, it was so spot on to make it feel as like a real like life blogger, a vlogger, and everything. And I would just like to say, like, how did you get into that headspace where it's like you have to be this outgoing guy, but then like the more it progresses, the more you're just like, whoa, like you know what you go through.
Yeah. God, it was such a strange. So when I auditioned, the audition was pretty much like they gave me a character breakdown. And then I basically improvised the entire audition.
Ooh, okay.
Which was, to a lot of people, I think would be very intimidating. To me, that was really exciting because I love to do that kind of stuff. And, you know, there are so many of these, like, young guys doing social media stuff who just, like, they are just, like, projecting this really over-the-top personality.
Right.
And it was so, it just came very easy to imitate that. I think ultimately, like, I'm making fun of it a little bit throughout the entire film, which I think is why Drop the Mic is sort of unique and kind of edgy, is that, like, he, you know, we discover in the film that there's more to this character, that he's
right.
got a little bit more of an emotional life. He really cares about family. He really actually cares about his friends, despite mm-hmm. doing things like punching his best friend in the balls. Like that kind of stuff. So I think that was why – I think it was really easy to be like – this is a persona that, as Mike, I put on
mm-hmm.
because it is a way, it is an avenue to success, and it's an avenue to sort of providing for the woman I care about and getting work for my friends, which I think is like a young actor in Los Angeles. I can definitely understand that attitude, wanting to see my friends succeed and wanting to create that success for them. So I think that's why it was so easy to just be like, look, I'm a dick and it's really funny, but ultimately I actually care about the people around
right,
me and
yeah.
I'm a nicer person. So, you know, the goal is by the end of the movie, you actually like me in it.
I did, yeah. I totally did. There was a flip, and I also appreciated that too because of like how, like, I, like in my mind, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, cause like once you start revealing more about you and like the heart of who Drop the Mic really is, and that's when you're just like, oh man, that sucks. Cause you really stepped in it now.
Well, I think that's really important to incorporate into a film. Like, and like, I think it's really shedding a light on like people who are in the spotlight, like actors, people who we look up to, celebrities. Like, we think of them as like gods and goddesses and whatnot, and we forget that they're human, like mm-hmm. they're just like us, and like it's so important to show that human side, and because we don't see that often with like actors, because they're just so high up in the industry, and like we don't see the human nature of them. And you did such a phenomenal job of showing so many different sides. So you were performing for the camera, you were performing like when you weren't like being filmed, but even though you were being filmed, and then obviously we saw your softer side with your wife, so it was just really cool to see that, and especially in a horror film. And so props to you for like pulling that off amazingly.
I really think it's mostly because Todd basically wrote it so that I would have an easy time. he gave me a full human being, and I get a lot of scripts that do not have full human beings written into them, so that was really nice. Another thing is that, like, you know, you go on social media now and you look at these people who are internet famous or have millions of subscribers, et cetera, et cetera. And there are stories of people sort of killing themselves, not literally, but like figuratively killing themselves in order to please their followers, mm-hmm. which I find sort of reprehensible. I think it's sad to see people forget that there's a human behind the personality.
Right.
So it was really exciting to see... To play somebody who really gives up everything, in a sense, to, like, really sacrifice oneself for their following, mm-hmm. which is unfortunate. But it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun to watch. And so where did the majority of filming take place for this?
Yeah, so we shot in two hotels.
Okay.
I want to say about half and half, like 4 days... at the Hotel Normandy, which is a very nice hotel in Koreatown. And we shot about 4 days in it. The technical name, I think, for it is Hayward Manor Apartments, which is the Hayward Hotel in downtown LA, okay. which is more of kind of like what we were going for, that kind of Hotel Cecil vibe.
Right.
You know, a little bit more, a little bit dingier. It was a great location. I mean...
Yeah, well, and the building provides low-income housing as well.
Right.
So that kind of contributed to the reality of the situation as exactly. well.
I mean, originally, we actually did want to shoot in the actual Hotel Cecil.
I was going to ask, like, did right? you guys try too?
Yeah, we did. It's funny. It was myself, Matt and Todd, and also Greg Berlant as well, right? Mm-hmm. And then and the other producers. Well, we actually went to Hotel Cecil, mm-hmm. tried to stay there for the entire night. We actually left, you know, halfway through. But we wanted to look at it, see what it feels like. You know, we heard noises and stuff like that.
Did you?
Yeah,
yeah, we heard noises. Really? I mean, they just, you know, hope, oh. like I think there was one scene in the movie,
I was like, what happened?
Where you know Sam would actually say, hey, sorry, the character of Danny say, hey, you right. know, Mike. 90-year-old grandma makes more noises than this, right? So that was actually inspired by the noises that we hear. We just hear, you know, noise of the elevator, or mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we looked into, we actually went into the whole elevator where Elisa Lam was, mm-hmm. right? And then, yeah, we just wanted to get the feel of it. And obviously we were kicked out, like, you know, people were following us because at that time, I think it was the American Horror Story season 4, I believe. It's like the hotel season just wrapped, and it, you know, was a very popular season, and it's actually based on the same events, Elisa Lam and everything else too. And Lady Gaga was there, so the hotel itself just got a whole bunch of bad press and everything else. That's why, you know, the moment we went in there, they knew that we were like, hey, you guys doing something here? No, you know, so we couldn't even film there. This is a long story short. Is yes, we went there. For research, we actually did sage ourselves afterwards.
Oh.
I kid you not, we
Good
actually
call.
Did it the same night.
Good call.
Yeah, you know, so we did that. And, you know, so we're trying to, you know, the reason why we shot at two different hotels, so we're trying to replicate the feel,
mm-hmm.
you know, of being in that particular hotel itself.
So but actually, could you tell it was two hotels?
No, I couldn't.
Yeah.
It was pretty, really consistent yeah. with just like the way things looked, like nice. Overall, yeah.
We were worried about that. That was one of our big worries, was the looks of the two hotels are very different. But nobody has given us that note.
Yeah, it
nobody.
Was, I mean, I just remember like shooting it as like, in my mind, because, you know, obviously we have to actually shoot certain scenes first and then later or whatnot, right? And then certain scenes would take place inside the elevator. Mm-hmm. And that elevator could only use one hotel. However, mm-hmm. the upper shot had to be used from the different hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was like, so as we were shooting, like, okay, so now we got to actually get all these shots from this hotel because we can't come back afterwards, right?
Right.
And then we got to make sure that it matches the other shot, make sure that the floor would actually match. It was, you know, it was really tough, but that's why we have the whole team here, just to make sure that we got things, you know, done. But the thing that was the biggest challenge, which is to make sure that people still feel it is the same hotel instead of two different ones.
Wow, yeah. I didn't even, like, think about that once. I was just like, oh, this is the same. No, just like, I legit thought it was just, like, the same hotel, like, through and through.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What amazing basement was it, the Hayward?
Damn, that basement.
That was.
It was so cool to be down there.
Oh, God, that was so fun.
We're also excited to get down there. And we filmed in October, which made it even more, like...
You'll have to watch the movie to really see the basement, though.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, actually, you know, Carrie can tell you this as well. So when we were location scouting, Carrie was going with me to the Hotel Hayward. So we went to the basement just to see in terms of this is a good location. And the security guard was leading us there. So he's like, okay, here it is. So I'm like, okay, are you going to show me around or show us around? Security guard is like, nope. I've been here for 7 years. I've seen a lot of shit. Crazy shit to go down there. You guys aren't really? So both with Carrie and I, we were just walking around. I was like, oh, shit. This is an actual haunted place.
Both hotels are quote-unquote haunted.
Really? Yes. Interesting.
The local people, you know, said, hey, there have been things that they've seen and all that, too. So that's why it was, when we shot the whole basement sequence and all that, I wanted to make sure that people were not alone. I was like, okay, if you're going to do this, make sure there's another person with you just in case. You're not like,
we filmed that at nighttime,
too.
Yeah. It was very spooky in reality. And there was one point where, like, you know, we did it all in I don't know how many takes.
2 hours.
It was, we did it all in like 2 hours, but also we didn't like we left the camera rolling. Like we were trying to get it all in one take, and it was just. I mean, for an actor, it's kind of like being in a playground because there's so many things that you. It's like so exciting and very like triggers your imagination, but also, God, it was so scary. That thing was. I think that you can tell in the movie, but not super well. It is huge. Mm. The basement is massive and has multiple levels, and it was just it was a lot.
And it really was. It may have been haunted as well. I mean, when we were editing, there are some things that didn't make it into the final cut, but that are very kind of weird. One thing that actually did make it into the final cut was Fred the Head falling from the top. That was not planned.
What?
Yeah.
It was not planned. It only happened once, and it happened right at the perfect time. It was really strange.
And then you just improv.
I heard that head fall, and my initial impulse was, get out. And then I thought, I am on the clock. I am working. I'm going to just improvise.
No, you guys were so good. So, like, behind the scenes in that moment is, it's a hotel room. So we have Antoine, Nelson, and I was there. Matt, I'm pretty sure you were there. So we're all along the wall between the bed and the wall, like, out of frame. And then we watch it, and everyone's like, don't make a noise to react to it, because it was so awesome. Yeah. And we're just like, oh, good, they went with it.
We rolled with it.
Goodness.
Another one would be, this one didn't make it into the final cut, but there's this scene in the beginning where they're trying to get the drone helicopter into the basement through the door, right? And Matthew is kind of squeezing it through, and he says, come on, little baby. And the moment he says baby, you hear a baby cry. We have this footage. We've listened to it a million times, and we're like, what's a baby cry doing?
First of all, it was impossible because you're obviously we on set, so everybody was quiet, right? So we have headsets on and everything else. So if any baby were to cry, we would have picked it up because we wanted to get live sounds, right? So it's like when we did it, like I'm like, you know, so when Matt was editing, it was next time, I was like, did you put the baby noise there? Matt's like, no. And then we listened to it. We looked at different sounds. I was like, how the did this sound come in? Like, it makes absolutely no sense.
I did not know that.
It's so creepy.
It's like literally the moment you say baby.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because I was making a joke. Oh, God.
Even up to this day, I don't know how that noise gets in because, you know, we actually had, 20 people on set at that time? Uh-huh. At least one of us would have caught it.
Yeah.
Because we all had headsets on and we were recording live sounds. Nobody heard it. I didn't hear it and anybody else.
I never noticed it.
And it was pretty loud. It wasn't like soft. So he's like, it's okay, little baby. You hear baby crying. Like, yeah. I was like, what the? Literally.
So my understanding is that you didn't hear it when it actually happened, but you heard it in the playback.
Exactly. Only when we were editing.
I've seen that on Ghost Hunters where it's like, you don't hear it live, but you hear it on the playback of it. Like, you pick up things that, you know?
We got the footage. I mean, like, we can show it to you, you know, when we get some time and all that, but it's all there.
Yo,
it's
email like, it. I'm going to have to change my pants after that. Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's fantastic stories. Unfortunately, we are coming down to our last 6 minutes, so I want to... do you guys have any questions for them? I have one in mind.
Oh, I have one.
Go for it.
So this is kind of a question for everyone. So what's something that's really special about this film to you that you take away that's like different from any other films that you've worked on previously? Sorry, that's a broad question.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess for me, is that it's my first ever horror film. Like, I like watching horror films. Mm-hmm. You know, I enjoy horror films. Like, I do get scared of horror films. I enjoy it, but I would never see myself as making a horror film. Like, honestly, like, when we first came up with the concept, I was only going to be, you know, producer. But obviously, because of, you know, limited budget and everything else, and then I honestly just didn't trust anybody else to direct with such a low budget. We couldn't really get, you know, great director. I'm like, all right, why not? But you know, with me, my directing style is that I'm heavily influenced by Nolan, Wong Kar-wai. You know, it's a mixture between the two. So I'm like, okay, how do I make a horror film but still has my sensibility, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, which is the soft moments, the romantic moments or whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to put it in the action-packed moment. It's like the whole, you know, the JC sequence. Yeah. That was literally inspired by the Bourne Supremacy. Oh, yeah, sorry, the Bourne Ultimatum chase sequence. I was like, I want a chase sequence in this movie, damn it. You know? Like, I want it out, right? Yeah. So I was like, you know, we had a perfect way to do it. But I think that was special because I guess I was able to tackle horror as my, you know, as my first time doing it. But at the same token, I didn't, you know, really lose my quote unquote my sensibility as a filmmaker that I wanted to be, which is, you know, make things that's more cinematic, more romantic, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
I did really enjoy the Skype calls to your fiance, especially because like he was so blue, and then he cut back to her and she'd have like a different color and everything. I was like, oh, this is nice. I like this.
Yeah. Mad props to her filming that scene. He made her do it over and over and over and over to get that right emotion level.
Tears, yeah.
Oh yeah, no. And then Matt's sitting there like while we're filming it, oh man, like watching, you're just like, okay, I don't want to watch someone cry.
She was she killed that. Kelsey, yeah, Kelsey's a wonderful actress.
She's beautiful. Yeah, she's wonderful. Yeah, I do remember having to break her down. It's like, you know, I was like, nope, like, do it again. She was like halfway through. I was like, no, do it again. She's about to die. Do it again. Wow. To the point that she actually broke down for real. I was like, oh, that's awesome. But yeah, she's a fantastic actress. Right, I think everyone was.
And for you?
As far as what I came out of this with, it's probably gratefulness for the crew and cast and crew that we ended up filming with. It was a great cast and crew. I think we were just lucky, to be honest. Sometimes I'd like to pat myself on the back and be like, Matt, you're the producer. You hired these people. It's because of you. but really, like things happen where people who didn't work, like, we got rid of them pretty quickly, and people who did work, it worked. Like, it was.
We had a fantastic.
I don't think we could have filmed it in 12 days had one person on that set
not been hustling.
Not hustling, not doing their thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the collaboration with talented people. It's so fun. The ideas that would pop and remind me of theater days where I learned to write and stories and stuff. And you put on a play and you all work together to put it up there. But now we're working on something that is for the ages. You know, it's filmed and it's for the ages, and that. It's going to entertain and scare people and make them think. And what's better than that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Honestly, the unique opportunity to have... We shot over 100 pages, and there were maybe 5 of those pages that I wasn't in. So the opportunity to work that much, you know, it's...
I'll just throw this really out there. There was 144 pages.
Yeah. Yeah, and
the
script.
The original script was...
The original script was 144
And we shot
pages.
All of them.
And we shot all of them.
And I was in 136 of them, I think. So it was a lot to learn. And because I had such a great director and writer working with me, they, like, really kind of let me improvise as much as I want. And they let me give notes if I had an idea for something that might have been that should have been different, and they listened to me, which is super rare, and it was really great. So
And then, you know, just one of the things is just like what Matt said, it's all about collaborative process. I think we were extremely lucky. You know, it's like, you know, we have everyone. Carrie was godsend as well. You know, she kept on check because I, you know, it's not like I made a lot of movies in my life. It's my first film, and I was actually a financial consultant, all that. So literally I didn't really know the lingo or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Right? So I needed all the help I could get. I needed to know, you know, the difference between this and that and all that. So, you know, we actually had all the help we could get. I got you know, Nelson, the DP, which is great. Like, I tried to explain to him, you know, how I wanted it, and immediately he got it. You know, I was like, whoa, that is amazing to do it.
Yeah, we should point out that Matt and Antoine worked back in their college days, and they did a couple shorts together. Nice. So Matt showed me the shorts, and then Antoine showed me another one. And you could tell that Antoine has in those shorts, this guy has talent. You know what I mean? So when he had more of a budget to work with, he could really start to shine. And that was really cool to see that. In this film.
Right. Right on.
Something kind of side note to speak to the camaraderie of it all. We started off like as a bonding experience. We went on a ghost hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Before we all started, organized a ghost hunt at the Devil's Gate in Pasadena.
Oh, I've heard of that.
At night, we all went. It was super fun, like a great way to get in the mood and, like, you know, icebreaker, essentially. I mean, we had already been doing a lot of pre-production for quite a few of us, but, like, that was a nice, like, all right, we're in the mood. We're making a horror movie.
Yeah. That's want to awesome. Make like a family experience, which was really fun. So,
unfortunately, the witching hour has come. It's time to wrap. Yes. So, again, everyone, hope you enjoyed the interview. I know I did. This is awesome. And again, the film is premiering at the Burbank International Film Festival on September 7th this year. Get tickets again online at rufollowed.com/tickets. And again, they're selling fast, so get on that. And my name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_. And the next.
My name is Matthew Solomon. You can follow me on Instagram. It's at SadDiscoBoy.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
Yes, and I'm Ollie Drennan. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Oh, yes. My name is Antoine Lee. I'm not really big on social media, but I guess I do have a Instagram. It's Lineheart321.
Okay.
My name is Matthew Brubaker. You can't follow me on Twitter, really, but you can find me on Facebook. Add me. I'll be your friend.
And it's Todd Click, KLICK is the spelling of the last name. I have Twitter and Facebook.
Okay. All right. So come September 7th, find out what happened to Drop the Mic. And that's it. That's a wrap, everybody. Catch you all later. What's up?
Thank you.
Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.